The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order, brought to you by us, because we rock. We're awesome.
Yay.
We're back, gang. It's been a week. Welcome my...
Welcome
my wonderful co-host, Dave Draper.
Yay!
So much has happened.
It has.
Yay. There's been a lot going on. Like, we missed all kinds of stuff talking about last week. We missed... Force Fridays happened. HasCon's happened. We didn't even get a chance to talk about Blake Wright's recently fully released book, The Toys That Time Forgot.
Like, didn't we?
No, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. And I know why I didn't bring it up is because we were prepping for vacation. It had been sitting on the counter, and then Carrie made me clean off said counter, and it all got put into a tote until I got home and realized, oh yeah, we didn't talk about that. Yeah, I felt terrible.
It was a good book. No, I think we talked about it, because my problem is that half the time we have conversations before we start recording,
yes.
And then it kind of drifts into the recording. Because I know we talked about how the whole, the fleas thing?
Yes.
That was like a fascinating story.
Oh, yeah, maybe we did talk about it. Okay.
I don't know if we talked about that on the... I don't know what ends up on the podcast.
I don't know.
What drives me crazy is I'll get a text from someone who's listening to an episode from like 4 weeks ago.
And you're like,
I have no idea.
Like, I can't remember what happened yesterday.
I barely remember what we were talking about.
Well, PowerCon was like... We'll get to a bunch of other stuff.
PowerCon was
this last weekend.
Is it this last weekend or is it now?
It's just this last weekend,
okay.
As well as HasCon. Both happened on the same weekends.
Oh, there you go.
But we'll talk about HasCon. We've got that up as well as up. But PowerCon...
Or HaxCon, as my notes apparently.
Yes. PowerCon, of course, there was lots of coverage from PowerCon, but of course the big news was the stuff Super 7 had on hand, showing off a Filmation version of Manny Faces.
Okay.
Which they're continuing the Filmation version of the...
This is literally all new to me. Like, I missed all the
really?
PowerCon stuff. Yeah,
They're finishing out the Rock Warriors with the release of Granita.
Sure.
Who was the female Rock Warrior in the animated series.
Absolutely. Good for her. Sisters are doing it for themselves.
They're finally releasing...
I knew they were doing a Hero and Eldor.
Eldor, yep. They're doing a vintage-style Hero and Eldor, which are pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
They're doing, of course...
Dial-a-Mug,
at San Diego Comic-Con. But they showed him in person.
Our lawyers have advised us we have never heard of Armin Zola.
Yeah. But they also showed off... They showed off a few other things, but these were the big hitters. People were really happy about Granita because she finishes off the Rock Warriors. So with Rakan and Stondar and Granita.
Sure.
Since we never got a figure of her. And they're continuing with the Rock gimmick that the other Classics figures did, where she basically has the snap-on armor so you can show her like... Like, if she would have been a vintage character with the armor on or off, or you could turn her into a rock, so... It's kind of neat. But I think that was about all that came out of PowerCon. We're nearing New York Comic Con, and with that comes a crap ton of Funko exclusives, all of which are actually kind of fun. DC Comics exclusives so far unveiled include Pop Heroes First Appearance Superman, Pop Heroes Black Chrome Batman... A Pop 8-Bit Blue and Gray Batman, Adorbs Batman Classic TV Series 3-Pack, the action figure Batman with Batmobile, Game of Thrones is getting a pop of Lena Mormont and Joaquin Hagar.
Oh, yeah, Mormont. Wait, that's that little girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
WWE's getting a Zack Ryder pop. Star Wars is getting a Rogue One Action Pose K2SO. Saw Gerrera with hair, Jin disguised with helmet, Death Star droid, a Dengar, a Boba Fett with Slave One. So, some very cool...
Pops is actually on my... Oh my god, I want it.
Which one?
About that Batmobile.
Yeah, the classic 66 Batmobile.
Yeah, but it's in like the cool Superpowers colors.
Yeah, the Superpowers colors. Yep.
Damn.
So Dave will be buying that.
No, I won't. Because I'm not going to New York Comic Con.
Yeah, but you can get it off.
Oh, can you?
Maybe.
Gartham.
Well.
Wow, I'm old. Golden Girls.
Golden Girls. The pops just keep going for New York Comic Con.
Yeah, well, pops are on my list because apparently there was a big spoiler in the last season of Game of Thrones. Like the next day, the final episode aired. Like Big Bad had, look, it's the spoiler alert for Game of Thrones. If you're like me and you have to like watch it on the DVDs,
the Ice Dragon,
the Ice King on the dragon. I'm like, oh, I guess they resurrect the dragon and he's on their side now. Yeah. Thanks. At two, Funko.
Yeah, yeah, no crap. Westworld, Dolores Pop, Stone Arg from Trollhunters, sure. Jim and Red Armor from Trollhunters, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy and Faye Tupac Pop, the First Doctor, Doctor Who Pop, a Sleestak and an Enoch from Land of the Lost.
Those I would be mildly. But those are Comic-Con exclusives?
Yep. The Walking Dead, Dwight with Burnt Face, Stranger Things 11 with Electrodes Pop, 11 with a wig, Upside Down Will, and Demogorgon action figure 3-pack. So, the 3-pack, the action figures are continuing. At least through Funko exclusives. Some of the video games and booth, some of the video game stuff is an 8-bit Dig Dug, Five Nights at Freddy's Sister Location Lulbit, an 8-bit Shredder, a blue, a purple, a red, a white, and a yellow foot soldier from the game as 8-bit. So, some very neat looking... looking Funko Pops. And then, again, they just keep coming, man. Black Dragon Zord, the glow-in-the-dark... Green Dragon Zord, Black Dragon Zord, glow-in-the-dark Green Ranger, Sailor V from Sailor Moon, Scary Ixis from Avro Monsters, Flocked Beastman, and a Destro with a chrome head. Yeah, yep. Dorbs, Lino, Mumrod, Snarf, vinyls of
Lionel. So now they got Mumra. A new thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vinyls are a new. Yeah. I'm like, really, yeah. Guys?
And then, not a New York Comic Con exclusive.
Hey.
Funko announced they were doing pops of Mortal Kombat. Finally, again, another one that you're like, they haven't done that yet. it's not Mortal Kombat puppet. Scorpion, Sub Zero, Liu Kang, Katana, and Raiden are as well as. There's a Firehead Scorpion that's a Hot Topic exclusive.
Sure.
A Goro that's exclusive to GameStop. And a 2-pack of rivals of Scorpion and Sub-Zero. All
right.
So, the Goro's kind of cute.
Yeah.
In all his disgustingness.
I guess.
Yeah, a lot of Funko stuff, man. Currently, over at the Four Horsemen website... you can pre-order the upcoming Power Lords of Power Armor Adam Power, Power Soldier Light Guardian, Power Soldier Dark Guardian, I know, Power Soldier Assassin, Shivix, the Gray Armored Alien Soldier, Psydot, Renan Tactical Soldier, which is a black suit Psydot, Zergot, which is a green suit Psydot, Dr. Waybar, which is a white Psydot, Ragoth, Flozari Shock Trooper, which is a black Ragoth. Thagor, which is an orange Ragoth. Yargorth, which is a green Ragoth. Disguisor. Deceptor, which is a bone color Disguisor. Deceivor, which is a blue purple Disguisor. And Gugur, which is a red Disguisor. Again, I don't care about 90% of those. I don't even care about the other two that I should care about.
Because I mildly care about the other two.
Because I'm sick. I'm tired. I was tired of waiting for them, and I'm still tired of waiting for them, which makes me very sad. Very, very sad. And I don't know what they still have on their Power Lords. Let's see if any of them are still available. There's an all-in set for $355.
It's not that bad, actually.
No.
I've seen less reasonable all-in.
True. Looks like they run about $22 a piece. Looks like they're all still available.
Yeah.
So to get the two... Although some, I will admit, some of the variants, like the Thagor and the Yargoth, like the head shapes are kind of neat looking. Three of them... The only three that I really care about are Disguisor, Ragoth,
and the ones based on the actual figures.
Yeah, those are the only ones I care about. But looks like they're all still available over at storehorseman.com, so you can head over there and pre-order those now. Mezco had some New York Comic Con exclusives they announced today, including a 1/12 collective Red Skull. in the classic costume. And he comes with a fuel tank and basically a flamethrower, a cosmic cube, an alternate head, a bunch of interchangeable hands.
Looks like a Mauser.
Yeah. And then the yellow-blue Wolverine was the other 112th Collective exclusive. He comes with two alternate heads, the Mask of Ogun, eight interchangeable hands, and then, of course, a display base and adjustable posing post.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know, right? They're cool.
It looks better than the brown costume one.
Yes. Disney Store and Marvel Shop exclusive Marvel Select Planet Hulk figure was revealed. He looks pretty amazing.
He looks cool, but I got the Hasbro one.
Did you really?
The Build-A-Figure, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He does look neat. The face sculpt's a little meh.
Well, he's a little calm. Fine.
A little calm. But again, it's a Diamond Select figure, and he looks, compared to the Diamond Select Thor they've released.
Oh, God, that thing's big, too. He's
giant. Are you changing?
Yeah, no, the Thor is a big figure,
yeah.
and Hulk is like towers
over him.
Good God. No, I'm not changing my mind, but
no.
I definitely sat up and took notice.
Yes.
I will say that much.
He's pretty cool looking. He's going to be a giant hunk of plastic.
He's going to be a big one.
Yeah. Hasbro revealed the Black Panther Kids line, as well as the Sasquatch Build-A-Figure, which was part of the HasCon news. We'll talk more about HasCon in a little bit. But so they unveiled the Kitty line, which actually doesn't look terrible.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Well, black plastic is very forgiving for, like, sculpting issues, yeah. and articulation.
Yeah, that's true. See, Cherie is, she looks all right, I guess.
She looks fine.
The kids' line is probably going to be a good way to get a lot of these characters that aren't going to show up in Marvel Legends anytime soon.
I don't know. Maybe.
It's very possible.
If they put her in the kids' line, I'd be shocked if they don't put her in the Legends line.
I know. There's a Vibramium Black Panther. There's Eric Killmonger, who is...
Oh, okay, who looks...
He's in a Black Panther-type costume. I can't think of who that actually is.
To be fair, I'm at an angle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be like, all them
who
people look
like. Who is Eric Killmonger? Is he...
a bad guy?
Yeah. I thought he actually had a name, like...
like Killmonger?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's...
And then the regular Black Panther, and then some kids' masks, some kids'... Some dress-up stuff. I know there's a couple of transforming vehicles. Like one, the car that transforms into a panther, which I don't think is actually, of course, in the movie, but...
That'd be cool if it was. Yeah, it
would be kind of neat. NECA's...
If you could put figures in that car, I might be down for that.
Dave might do that. The new version of It opened this past weekend in theaters.
And killed It.
Yeah.
It
broke record.
Yeah, people have been whining about the box office all year. This thing... Hit with a bang.
Yeah. Which makes me happy because a lot of people were worried about this adaptation. It sounds like it was done really good.
I've heard mixed things, but I mean, it's not a disaster.
No. But NECA announced they were doing figures based on Stephen King's It. But they have not shown any pictures, so more than likely, we're going to get Bill Skarsgård's Pennywise, the Dancing Clown.
Yeah.
Which apparently is the creepiest version of... So much so that even Tim Curry was like, he was on stage at a Comic-Con and they were asking him, they were talking about his role and then this new one. And he's like, it's going to give mine a run for its money.
Well, what I've heard, one of the criticisms I've heard of the movie actually is that Curry's Pennywise was kind of goofy and funny and it drew the kids in and then he went, rah.
Yeah.
And this one's so creepy and yucky that, it's very effective as a monster.
Yeah.
But like, would a little kid actually crawl down into a sewer to be near it?
Right,
is the criticism I've heard.
Yeah, it's a fair criticism. There's a new exclusive at Best Buy of all friggin' places.
Wow,
Kid Robot, who's been doing the Madball stuff. They've been re-releasing the foam Madballs and the collectible stuff. They did a Best Buy exclusive version of sci-fi horror Madballs. So it's Leatherface, Freddy Krueger, Predator, Jason Voorhees. A xenomorph, and a facehugger. And those are all available at Best Buy right now, and they're pretty darn cool looking.
Yeah,
I will give them that. It makes me very happy that they're actually doing stuff with Madballs. Like they're actually going, here's some Madball stuff, and everybody's going, oh, we're gonna buy those. Very nice looking though. I don't know if they're the foam. I don't know if it says it's a 4-inch Madball series, so they probably are the foam ones. But they're $10. They're at Best Buy. They're beautiful toys. I mean, there's beautiful collectible Madballs. The detail's gorgeous. The paint's gorgeous on them. It excites me. I kind of wish I would buy, you know, I could buy some of the Madball stuff that's out now, but eh.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. There's a Big Bad Toy Store exclusive Super Friends box set. 8-inch retro figures, which feature from Figures Toy Company, which features Green Lantern, Flash,
Wendy and Marvin.
Wendy and Marvin from Super Friends.
No Wonder Mutt.
No Wonder Mutt, but Wendy and Marvin.
Well, yeah, but without the dog, who cares?
I think this is the first time we've ever got a Wendy and Marvin in anything.
Without the dog, comma, who cares?
I know, but...
It's like Xan and Jaina without Gleek. Oh, Mattel.
David.
Whatever. Like, we needed another Flash.
I know. Hot Toys announced another version of Harley Quinn coming out. The dancer dress version. Basically the, hey, I'm the Joker. I'm going to pass my girlfriend around to every guy version.
And then shoot you for... like, respectfully declining my offer.
Yeah.
That scene was weird and dumb.
I agree. The Harley Quinn dancer dress version from Hot Toys. Actually, it looks really nice.
They're always well done, and she's a very attractive lady.
Yes, she is. Very much so. Yes, comma, yes. I was trying to see what all she comes with. I think she comes with the stripper pole.
Okay.
I think the pole is the... Yeah, the pole's the base.
Pole's the base.
Yeah. But it doesn't say what else she comes with. They've just, like, shown off a bunch of pictures, so...
Well, she didn't really have a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Probably a bunch of different hands.
A metal chain, a bunch of jewelry. So, kind of neat. So, HasCon happened this past weekend, too.
Yes, it did.
We'll talk about some of the yeah. Talk about some of the stuff.
New drinking game. Whenever Jason says we'll talk about that later, take a,
well, no,
take
well,
a shot.
I don't know what to say about HasCon. Like, it seemed...
All right,
it wasn't overly crowded.
Am I allowed to speak about HasCon at this point?
Go right ahead.
Okay, here's my hot take on HasCon. First of all, it actually, apparently, from everything I've heard, it went really well.
Yes.
I heard no horror stories. And, you know, there was a part of me that was kind of like, a little bit failed.
Yeah.
I'm a jerk. But I'm glad that people had a good time. And people did. I've heard that if you actually paid the money for the G.I. Joe experience and you were like a hardcore G.I. Joe guy...
It was well worth it.
It was worth it because it was pretty deep cuts. You got to meet like the people that worked on it. You got to see... Like, personally, I'm like, okay, it's a two-up Storm Shadow. That's...
Yeah.
I like that figure, but, you know, like if it was a Star Wars thing and it was Star Wars memorabilia, maybe I'd be excited.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to like knock it because apparently it was really cool if you were into G.I. Joe.
Right.
And considering that G.I. Joe's kind of not been getting a lot of love lately... Because that's where I got most of my information about HasCon was from the G.I. Joe.
The G.I. guys, yeah.
And then they did show off some Marvel stuff. They did show off a bunch of Marvel Legends. My hot take on HasCon is to me, it's like, you know how Hollywood, with these adaptations of these books, like Harry Potter and Twilight and Hunger Games, the last film, they split it into two movies.
Right.
Like HasCon feels like San Diego Comic-Con... Part 2, the unnecessary extra sequel. Didn't you get that everything looked like it should have been at Comic-Con?
Comic-Con, yeah.
Everything felt like it should have been at Comic-Con. It just, you know, I mean, kudos to them for capturing the Comic-Con feel, but I just, every time I'd see something, I'm like, why wasn't that presentation at Comic-Con?
Yeah, exactly.
Why wasn't that thing at Comic-Con?
It's because they were saving it for their own
thing. Saving it for their own thing so they can make money.
Yeah. Marvel Select 6-inch figures announced were Black Panther, Clover, Shuri through 2-pack. Invincible Iron Man with an unmasked Tony Stark head. Namor, Black Bolt, Storm, Wolverine in his Tiger Stripe costume.
Are these Select or Legends?
These are...
I'm pretty sure those are Legends.
Well, Legends, but they're calling them Marvel Select for some reason. I mean, it did look like it was very sparsely attended.
See, I guess I just didn't notice that at all. Like, I wasn't paying attention to that.
Well, I saw a couple of guys on the action figure groups that went, showed to their hauls, and it... Like, they were able to buy multiples of everything that was running out at Comic-Con. They, you know, they're like, here's my haul.
Well, the only thing I know about is the, Well, I know about a couple of things. I knew there were, like, My Little Pony dies, and there was, like, a rare magic car.
Yep.
And... Okay, we're having a cat-related issue. It was like something Fun Pub would do. They had bagged extra Joe figures for the Missile Command set.
Yeah. Monster.
Kitty Cat's not feeling well, so I'm trying to indulge her, but...
she's trying to climb David's leg.
Yeah, it's getting painful. Well, the claws got caught, so she's like, I gotta go forward, I can't go back. I'm like,
no, don't go forward. But the Marvel Legends stuff they showed off, so like we said, Black Panther, Clover, Shuri, Tupac, the Invincible Iron Man with an unmasked Tony Stark head, Namor, Black Bolt, Storm, Tiger Strike costume Wolverine, Psylocke, Thanos, Songbird, Serpent Society, King Cobra.
Like, that's apparently they're doubling down on the Serpent Society. I know they have like a picture of that.
Yes. Spider-Punk, Spider-Woman, Paladin, Deathlock, X-23 in her X-Force costume, and the Sasquatch Build-A-Figure.
Yeah.
The vintage 6-inch collection is Wolverine and the Punisher, and they showed a Sandman prototype off.
They just did Sandman.
I know. The Star Wars.
They did show some Star Wars stuff.
That's
actually a 4-inch Snoke.
Oh, really?
That is not a Black Series.
Oh, nice.
I think it's a Walmart one. We'll get to that like when we get to the
Force Friday stuff.
But yeah, because people are like, that's not the well, I think it's the Walmart Black Series, but it's like, that's not the 6-inch one.
Right.
Oh my god.
Ethel.
Oh my god.
Come here.
That hurt. Okay, so apparently Ethel, left leg is okay.
Yeah.
Don't do that to the right leg.
So the shut off
the nerves still function.
Yes. Poe Dameron, Supreme Leader Snoke, as Dave was saying. Finn in his First Order officer disguise.
No, I think that's... Well, okay. Yeah, okay. He's way over here.
Yeah.
Captain Rex and a Praetorian Guard.
Rose.
Praetorian Guard's already out.
Yeah.
Well, Praetorian Guard and Rose are already out.
And the Dewback with Sand Trooper.
Ooh. That's a reissue, but...
So...
That's already been out. Yes.
Yeah, interesting Star Wars stuff.
That's like the big 12-inch Wolverine.
Yep.
That's the tank.
The Rogue One Imperial tank, yeah.
Will it have nerf?
Hopefully not.
Will it be accurate to the other Rogue One? It won't fit in with the other Rogue One vehicles then if it doesn't have a big, stupid, ugly nerf gun.
Good.
Welded into it. I know they showed off the vintage-style packaging. And again, it's all the stuff that Walmart had.
Right.
Like all the former Walmart Black Series, except for like one or two figures.
That is now going to be more available.
Okay.
Maybe.
It's going to sit around like, you know, I mean, I'm a sad Star Wars collector, so I will probably buy one or two just to have them on the card.
Yes.
It is not going to move because people have those toys already.
I know.
And then they did show off a new Luke, like of the regular 5-inch or 4-inch figures. They showed off a new Luke and they showed off Leia.
Yeah.
From Last Jedi.
Yeah. So most of the stuff they showed was already out.
That's shocking. It's exactly like Comic-Con.
I know, right? Yeah, the Magic the Gathering, there was a display of that. Yeah, there's the Dewback.
That's the Black Series Dewback. Yeah. Oh, choice.
Yeah, 6-inch Dewback.
Man, we got a fan choice question about those vehicles coming up.
Fair enough. Some interesting stuff shown at HasCon. Not a lot of news out of HasCon, though, surprisingly.
No. Well, I wasn't expecting a lot.
Yeah. You, before we talk about some of the movie stuff, you...
Oh, no. He's stomping all over the keyboard.
Oh, she's fine. You you got to go to Force Friday while I was gone.
I did do Force Friday. Were you gone at that point? Or
No.
It was Thursday night. Yeah.
Went to St. Louis. Yeah.
Yeah, it was... It's my... I don't know what they called the Rogue One one, but it was my third Force Friday. You know, it's interesting. Like, I can't seem to get the right synergy for some reason.
Right.
Like, I went to Toys R Us the first one, and they had nothing. And it was a debacle, because they had all the stuff in the regular action figure aisle. One guy managed to block everything off.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was the night that I was, like, sadly, like a drunk trying to find a open bar going to every store in town. Everybody always ends up at Meijer, because it's a grocery store and it's open 24. So anyway, Rogue One, I was like, I'll just go to Walmart. And of course, Walmart didn't get the memo that there were new Star Wars toys. And so like it's like 12:30 and they're finally pulling stuff out. And someone had already gotten into them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, it was like, ugh. So this time I'm at Toys R Us. And of course, Danny comes in and he's like, oh no, Toys R Us had everything. They had tons of stuff. It was right there. It was really easy. It was great. I got everything. Yeah. I go, why are you here?
Yeah. Go away.
What are you looking for then? What do you need?
Get out of the line.
But so this time I'm at Toys R Us again. I'm number 7 in line. And I got there like super early. And again, it was weird. They had like a thing up front Like right when you come in, there's
right. That there's dog, like a little.
There's a little thing right there, and that had like for the Black series and for the 4-inch series, it had the wave that I think everybody really wanted.
Correct.
But they only had one case.
Ah.
And then back in the regular aisle, they had cases of Wave 2, and they had tons of them. So it was weird. I was the only guy in like the at least the Vanguard that really wanted the 4-inch figures. And I still, like, as I came through, the only one I found was Luke, which is weird, because that was what everybody wanted.
That was what you really wanted.
Well, what everybody really wanted was Black Series Luke.
Right.
There, and the guy at the front of the line, and he was there with his kid, that was, like, his thing, his main number one thing that he wanted, and that was what a lot of people wanted. There were no Black Series Luke.
Ah.
Even though the case was there, there were no Black Series Luke at Toys R Us.
Because somebody had got into him.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to make an accusation. I'm just saying that a thing that should have been on the pegs was not on the pegs, and the first guy through the door couldn't find one.
Yep.
So I actually, because most of the characters I wanted anyway were in Series 2.
Right.
I actually did pretty well for Friday. I got everything, and then I kind of wanted to get a Black Series Luke, just because it's Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
And I ended up just, yeah, oh, and then Target was open. Target's, I think, never done a midnight thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm aware of.
They had a raffle for a giant 4-inch board.
Yeah.
And I skipped Target because I hate Target. and I just went to Meijer and I ran into the guy who was at the front of the line at Toys R Us. He actually he'd gone to Target after Toys R Us and won the board.
Oh.
Which was as big as his kid.
Yeah.
He got no Black Series Luke, though.
Weird.
So I got most everything I wanted. And then also, you know, I complain about the employees of Toys R Us, but one of them came up and said, "So someone returned one of those online A-Force Marvel Legends sets."
Oh yeah,
it's like, do you want it? yeah, I want it.
Yeah.
So that kind of inflated what I paid
the purchase.
Yeah. I'll get to the total in a minute because Force Friday for me was all weekend long.
Oh yeah, it was an ongoing thing.
I ended up running out north the next morning, which was actually Friday, to your Walmart.
Right.
And I got a Luke, and then I picked up the Black Series vehicles, so I am able to answer that question.
Ah, yes.
And spent even more money. And I think I think then I went home, and then I saw on the fan groups that the playset was out.
Oh, yeah.
Which I had missed completely, and I'm like, oh, son of a gun.
So back out David goes.
So, yeah, Saturday I went out, and I went to Toys R Us, and you know, this one, they're like, oh, it's you. Oh, yeah, it's me. Whatever.
Not back.
It's
me. I'm back again.
Dropped $200 on the playset.
Is it really that much money?
It's with tax. It's really that much money.
Holy crap!
Well, you get a free Force Link thing. You get a free Force Link.
You're
gonna be so amazed by how awesome it is when I show it off to you, man. No on or off button, but it's really a freaking amazing. Yeah, it's expensive. Well, it was a place. It was like Hasbro did a playset for Star Wars.
Yeah, but Playmates did a giant one for Turtles, and it was only like $90.
And I didn't realize that I was going to be able to get Snoke another way.
I
was unaware. Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
And then like Monday, I get a call from our friend Jay, and he's like, "Yeah, I found the Walmart Black Series figures." I'm like, "Okay." Like, yeah, you know, Luke. I'm like, Luke Skywalker, Jedi Luke. He's like, "Yeah." 4-inch?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I'm like, those are a thing that exist that they're making? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I had literally no idea that they were, because they're doing the vintage line,
right,
which is all the Walmart figures anyway.
Right.
Like, I had no idea they were continuing to do the Walmart ones. And of course, it's Luke, it's Rose, it's a Praetorian Guard, and it's the Executioner Stormtrooper, which is not out in any other form. And he snagged me a set because he's a good guy. And I'm just like, oh my God, thank you. Because I had no idea. Like that Luke is a figure that, you know, I mean, I got the regular one because I figured that was what I was going to get.
Right.
I didn't know I was going to get like a really nice articulated one.
Exactly.
Like 3 days later. Yeah, my purchases would have been substantially different if I had known then what I knew now.
There would be no playset.
There probably would be no playset.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, first of all, spoiler alert for the review we're going to do in a little while. I honestly thought the whole thing completely closed up, but it made like just a life-size BB-8.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of a selling point. It came with a Force Link thing, which I was not going to buy on my own.
Right.
Which was a selling point. It came with Snoke. It came with the thing. And it was just, if they're going to do a playset, I kind of want to support. You know, I don't want to be a wait for Ross guy and say,
right,
please make Star Wars playsets and then never support that.
Exactly.
I'm not, you know. I apparently, in theory, I had the money. And then I also ended up, like, over the weekend, I ended up buying every ship. There were four ships. For those of you who haven't bought the 4-inch figures, the Kylo Ren's Kylo Ren's TIE Silencer is the best of the bunch. Hands down, it's a really cool ship. I really like it. That's the only Lego set I got. I love the design. I think it's really cool. And I think Hasbro did a really good job on that ship. The A-Wing is nice.
Yeah.
There's no giant, stupid, ugly Nerf gun on the bottom this time around.
That's good.
It's an all new sculpt. It's really well done, but it's another A-Wing.
Right.
You know, it's a new A-Wing, but it's another A-Wing. And then the other two are garbage. The other two are hot garbage. In fact, that speeder thing is just, for about 2 days, was the bane of my existence.
Really?
It doesn't look like it will demand so much shelf space.
Right.
But it's got this little gun projecting here and this little skis poking here. And it's just like, you need this huge cube of space for what looks like just this shrunken little junky B-Wing piece of garbage.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that one. so, yeah, that was, you know. And actually, at this point, I finally, like, I think about 2-3 days ago, I finally got my dining room table completely
cleared off.
So I'm happy about that.
That's an accomplishment.
Everything is downstairs except for that BB-8, which I don't know where I'm going to put that.
No.
But, yeah, so on the whole, I had a good time hanging out, talking to the, you know.
Oh, the Star Wars guys.
Yeah, Star Wars guys. It was interesting. The guys directly in front of me were, like, maybe in their 20s, but, you know. They were big fans. The guy actually had the Padawan braid going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. As always, I was like the old man who had
saw those in the theater when they were released.
Those in the theaters. But it was cool. It was, it's just nice to be part of a fandom and everybody's kind of on the same page and everybody likes the same thing.
True.
They put it that way. And it was interesting how everybody had, like, you know, the one guy really wanted Luke, and the other guy wanted this, and these guys wanted this. You know, it's interesting how everybody kind of wanted different things.
Right.
Which was also good, because none of them wanted what I wanted. So that made it...
which always makes it much
easier. Definitely helped for the camaraderie, let's put it that way.
Well, apparently the cat...
The cat decided to stop ripping up my leg.
Yes, and she has now moved on and is sitting in Carrie's bookshelf with her New Kids on the Block stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But, yeah, important cat-related developments. We're going to get that guy from iTunes complaining about the podcast again.
Well, and here's the thing, is that, like, I don't remember...
I don't remember in reviews being... I know you're going to... The guy who criticized us for being too critical.
Yeah.
Or complaining too much
or something. Yeah, like...
Like, I don't remember us being that critical of whatever toy we were reviewing.
And it was the...
It was the Hasbro set.
It was the Hasbro set. And I think we were just joking about the fact, like, we were sad that the Micronauts were not full-size Micronaut figures.
Okay. First of all, we're critiquing a thing.
Right.
Now, I know people are used to certain reviewers who love everything, who are the anti-Mikey.
Yeah.
But if you're critiquing a thing, you will point out negatives. That is just, you know, and I don't remember us being that hard on it. I know we made fun of people complaining about Matt Tracker being black.
Right. So this guy was just like, I just unsubscribed to you. You do complain too much. You even complain that people complain. And I just responded, and yet you're complaining, I'm complaining. I'm so confused.
Yeah,
I
was...
Like, you're reading that. I was like, we didn't even complain. Like, I don't even think we were mean about it.
I don't think we were that... Yeah, it was just like, we were a little kind of... We were critical of people that were flipping out over Matt Tracker.
Right.
Because it was a dumb thing to flip out about.
I agree. It was very dumb.
But, like, it wasn't like, yeah, whatever. We love everything. Sunshine and rainbows and whole hands and unicorns.
I just don't get the trigger crap, man. Yeah, just like, whatever. What is happening?
People are snowflakes.
You know what?
Like, it's weird. I go back and forth between people are snowflakes and then something we're not going to talk about. But, like, that actually did kind of trigger me.
There was
some things that kind of ticked me off.
I agree.
I don't know. It's just, I think the question is to I think you have to show respect for people, but I think you can't just cave into everything because that's impossible because you don't know what's going to... Like you need to have a little bit of a thick skin and you need to show consideration for other people.
And I don't know what that guy was trying to accomplish with this comment. Like, was he going to make me go, I'm so sorry, you know, we'll try to be better in the future. No, I'm not going to change who we are.
Yeah.
Like, the way we do reviews is the way we do reviews. That's that.
And like, be specific about what you thought we were being too critical or complaining about.
Yeah. And cool, you unsubscribe. Okay. Like, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome. Like, I don't know if I don't know. Like, that just kind of drove me nuts when I got home.
Yeah.
I was just like, really? Like, I wasn't angry about it. I was just like, really? And that my comment sums it up perfectly. I'm like, you're complaining about me complaining too much.
Yeah.
So you're doing the thing that you're saying that I'm doing.
And now we're complaining about his complaint about our complaint.
And I will continue to complain about his complaint of our complaint.
Which will probably elicit a complaint.
Because he sounds like a douchebag.
I wish he'd been more specific, because just saying that we complain too much, like, be specific.
Well, yeah,
because maybe we had, because we have bad podcasts where we're ticked off at the world, and, you know, there's some toys that we review that suck.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, you know, if there's something specific that we were, you know, and maybe we did have a bad day, maybe we were too harsh on something, but you got to be specific about what it is you have an issue with, and then we can look at it and go, well, maybe we were overboard, or maybe you are a douche.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Hasbro and Netflix announced a new original series based on Stretch Armstrong called Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters.
Right.
A new animated series, which they've reinvented Stretch Armstrong. Right. He's now a teenage superhero.
Of course he is.
Yes. Follows high school student Jake Armstrong and his two best friends, Nathan Park and Ricardo Perez, who are accidentally exposed to an experimental chemical that forever changes their seemingly normal lives, transform them into unlikely heroes who embark on a series of adventures. I know.
And we had to sit there and wait for you to digest, too.
I'm sorry. Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters will feature the voice talents and voices of leading Hollywood television and film talent, including Scott Menville from Teen Titans Go and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as Jake Armstrong, Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead as Nathan Park, Oogie Banks from Ultimate Spider-Man as Ricardo Perez Omni-Mass. Will Wheaton plays the character Rook.
Who?
Will Wheaton.
Who?
Will Wheaton. Felicia Day will play the character Erica. The famous Keith David will play Kane. He was.
I know who he is.
Yeah. Kate Mulgrew.
I'm going, because I'm like, that was the one that actually impressed me.
Kate Mulgrew will be Dr. C.
Okay, that mildly impresses me.
And Walter Koenig is a character named Mr. Savick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So a little Trek,
yeah,
little Trek cred there.
Yeah, well, quite a bit of Trek cred there. Walter, Kate, Will.
Oh yeah, Wheaton. Yeah. Wesley. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Wesley was a thing that existed.
Oh yeah. That's what happened. The Hellboy movie is currently shooting, being directed by Neil Marshall. Will also star Mila Jovovich as an evil sorceress.
Is that? Okay, is that the same guy that did, like, I can't remember the movie. There's a Neil Marshall that's done a couple movies.
I can look it up.
I didn't really want to stop the podcast.
No, we're not stopping. This is what we do.
This is what we do, which is why I kind of regret.
These are the things that we do.
Regret going down that road.
Well, you know, Neil Marshall. They misspelled his name.
Okay, well, that explains a lot. I think that is the guy I'm thinking of.
The
Descent. The
Descent, Dog Soldiers.
Doomsday,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's a pretty good director.
He directed an episode of Westworld.
Okay.
He directed the pilot and one of the best episodes of Timeless, which I love that show.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
He's currently filming the Lost in Space TV series.
Okay.
Yeah. He directed some episodes of Constantine, Hannibal.
Game of Thrones,
Black Sails. See, he's done quite a bit of work, so...
Yeah. Okay, the name sounded familiar, but it was spelled weird in the article.
And, of course, Hellboy's being played by David Harbour, who was the sheriff in Stranger Things. So they released first images of Hellboy as he was going to look in the picture with David Harbour in the complete costume and makeup.
Looks fine.
Looks
like Hellboy.
Yeah. Not as cartoony looking as Perlman's makeup was.
Maybe.
A little more buff than Perlman was. It's mostly, I think, that's because he's in a muscle suit. Perlman was too, but like they didn't define like his abs and stuff. He was kind of... Ron Perlman's Hellboy was...
Have you ever looked at the character in the comics? He's a blob.
Yeah, he kind of. But the Stone Hand looks cool.
I mean, play the version in the comics.
Oh. I'd pay money to see that.
I'm sure you would.
You're just as angry and...
I generally am. Yeah. I don't think Hellboy's actually angry.
No, he's not really.
It's not the impression I've gotten of it. Of course, I mostly know him from the movies.
True. But it looks fine. There was another picture they released that isn't on here, but actually showed him in the coat.
Okay.
Like it had the, you know, his trench coat on. So, it looks cool. I mean, it's, you know, hopefully it's going to be wonderful.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's a good director.
Yeah.
The character looks fine. I would have preferred Guillermo del Toro and
Ron Perlman,
to be able to finish up the trilogy, wrap things up, and then reboot.
Yeah.
I would have preferred that, but I'm not going to carry pitchforks to the to this premiere.
I'll go see it. I like the
Whole movie. I don't know if I'll go see it, but I'm not against it.
Fair enough.
I'm not a big enough fan to like just automatically go see it. If it gets good word of mouth, I'll go see it.
Yeah.
If it gets bad word of mouth, I'll probably skip it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. Patty Jenkins was announced. She's returning to Wonder Woman 2.
Good.
With a much higher pay raise.
Good.
Which is what she should
As I said before we started recording, when you actually succeed at a DC movie and make one that makes money, you're supposed to get re-signed and get a payoff.
Yes.
That's how that works.
That is normally how that indeed works.
You don't keep promoting Snyder. You let the people that actually have a record for success...
Yes. Continue to make your movies. Which, of course, that leads to talk into Justice League, which, of course, they've refilmed probably about 80% of that movie.
I think so. I mean, it's like something obscene at this point.
Yeah. Well, they've talked about they made... Wonder Woman is actually kind of the leader of the Justice League in this, not Batman.
That's fine.
She is actually leading the group, which is how it should be, honestly. It's kind of what you do when you have your most popular movie and character. You should go, maybe she should lead things.
Yeah.
Maybe she should do that. So, we talked about, I talked about Unmarried to the Collection this week, but I saw The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Bring that up. Terrible film. Not a good movie.
Yeah, there's going to be a theme of the next couple of minutes, I suspect.
Terrible movie. Not good. Not even really entertaining to a degree. Like they tried too hard to make it feel like the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies, but make it more serious in nature. Well, so there's a lot of
that
jokes.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well,
that's like Yahoo Serious Film Festival. I understand the words, but it doesn't make any sense. That movie was lighthearted and fun and goofy. You can't do the Brendan Fraser movie, but serious.
Yeah, well, they tried.
That makes no sense.
They tried. They put a lot of humor to Tom Cruise's character and the girl. And then everything around them is, like, very serious in nature. Like, end of the world, all kinds of crazy stuff. Instead of just a fun, like, sci-fi, like, kind of horror movie. It was not great. And the fact that... spoilers for anyone who hadn't seen it. At the end of it. The whole thing is, like, the mummy... chooses Tom Cruise's character to basically become the vessel of the god of death.
Okay.
And she tried to do this on her lover, you know, centuries ago, and they interrupted it. They killed her lover. They mummified her. You know, they basically turned her into a living mummy. And
I like how in these movies, like, they do this thing to kill off the bad guy, and it makes them a million times more powerful.
Yes.
Like, just stab them in the head.
He's the one that releases her from her prison, so she chooses him.
Yeah.
She keeps him alive.
This is all in the trailers.
Yeah. They have this dagger that's a big part of it that he fights Mr. Hyde, which was probably the most interesting part of the film, to see Jekyll become Hyde, and then Hyde's just a badass.
Well, here's the thing. The minute you establish that Jekyll's in the film... Like the minute you establish there's a character in your story, be it book, movie, or TV show, that's Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Henry Jekyll, you know he's going to at some point turn into Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, boy does he.
Or you will get your ass kicked because people will be ticked off that he never turned into Mr. Hyde.
But at the end of the film, so the love interest gets killed, the mummy kills her.
Oh, no.
And Tom Cruise steals the dagger from the mummy and realizes... that if he turns himself into the god of death, he can actually bring the girl back to life.
Okay.
So he would be, you know, an opponent for the mummy. Like, he'd be an equal.
Okay.
So he stabs himself with the dagger. He becomes the god of death. Him and the mummy fight. He sucks her life force out of the mummy and turns her back into a mummy. But he becomes this monster, but he brings the girl back to life, and he... basically, you know, escapes and is riding off to try to find a cure. So he's out there in the world. He's supposed to play. If they continue to do movies for the Dark Universe, which I don't know if they will.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be right on that.
Universal's plan is to still do Bride of Frankenstein and The Invisible Man.
Which they already cast.
Which they already cast, so they're pretty much, they're going to do them, I think.
Maybe.
But there's a line from Dr. Jekyll that basically says, you know, they're like, should we hunt him down? And he's like, yes, because he may be the greatest weapon we ever command in this oncoming fight. Because he knows more stuff is coming. So, wasn't great. Watched Transformers this week while I was sick.
Transformers, which one?
The newest one.
Last night. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. Boy, what a terrible film.
What?
Oh, my God. And not for the reasons you think.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, usually it's a terrible film because there's lots of explosions and things are happening. And
explosions are fine.
Was story to this film.
Was there like so much story that it was too much story?
No, the problem, like, and this was the least Bay version of the film that Bay's ever done. Like, there were more Transformers per minute. Like, they actually got a lot of screen time. Everybody got a lot of screen time. Yes, Optimus is basically a glorified cameo, but there was actually a story to it. Problem was, is they throw you right in the start of this with Sir Anthony Hopkins telling you, you know, Optimus Prime is gone.
It's in the trailer. Yeah, again, in the trailer, yeah. Man. Like, you don't have to see these movies. Just go watch another movie and see, like, five trailers. That's what I do, kids.
So, immediately, you get into this, and, like, Cade is now an enemy of the state. Like, for some reason, the government is trying to, like, destroy the Autobots.
They were doing that in the last...
Well, even more so now. Like, they're trying to kill Cade. Like, Cade has become an enemy of state, and their orders are basically to take him out.
Jesus.
So, yeah. So, he's running. He's trying to protect all the Autobots he can. The government catches wind of there's this weapon that they're trying to hunt for, and they know that if they find this weapon, they can basically control everything. So the government... they hire the Decepticons, of all things. They make a deal with the Decepticons... They work with Megatron. Megatron gets a bunch of his.
I bet this goes well.
Well, better than you think.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, like, betray them?
No.
What?
Not until the very end. And then he.
Oh, as long as he does it.
But, like, they released all of, like, these Decepticons from Hold because Megatron was, like, one of them's, like, Mohawk and, like, all of these weird. Like, I'm like, who are these characters?
Well, they killed off all the big ones. They killed off Soundwave and Shockwave
Starscream. Yeah. But, like, Barricade's still around. Onslaught's part of this film.
Onslaught was never a...
I guess he wasn't, but...
Well, no, he was never a Decepticon. He was a bounty hunter originally,
yeah,
I think.
That's true. But, yeah, so they hire the Decepticons to do all their dirty work for him, basically. Like, it's weird. It's the same general that's been around since the first Transformers movie. And then the one soldier is brought back. I can't think of his name. He's married to Fergie in real life. Dumal.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of his
name.
Josh Dumal. They bring his character back. Like him and Cade had this interaction. And they apparently know each other, but they never tell you how Dumal came back. Like, how that character... Like, they just throw you into a middle of all this stuff. Like, suddenly Bumblebee gets, like, torn apart, and he can, like, basically reassemble himself.
They've been doing that the whole series, man. Like, they've never had consistent rules about what the deal is.
No, it's been super... So, you know,
remember last one they had, like, they were, like, digital... They could, like, break into
like nanites.
Bits. Yeah, they were nanites. Garbage.
My takeaways from this film were Cogman... who was Sir Anthony Hopkins' character's, like, butler transformer, who was, like, a human-sized transformer. He was the best part of the movie. Like, hands down, that was the best part. Sir Anthony Hopkins was a lot of fun, just because...
No, he usually is.
Just to see him flip a cop off as they're driving through Paris was spectacular.
Hmm.
I was like, well, that's something you don't see every day. So you could tell Hopkins was having a lot of fun. Although they made him run a lot, and I felt bad. I was like, they're making Anthony run, and he's like damn near 80. Like,
that was probably CGI. That was, that's what they did with Dooku. They just had some other stuntman run, and they CGI'd his face on.
So Cogman was a lot of fun. Optimus Prime gets turned into Nemesis Prime by Quintessa, who is, instead of the Quintessons, is now the sole creator of the Transformers. Is their maker.
Meh.
Which is dumb.
Meh.
The government apparently know about Quintessa. They know that the staff of Merlin can control it, so that's why they send the Decepticons to find the staff, so they can then follow the Decepticons to find the staff, to find Optimus, to basically kill everything.
I like how they've run out of actual Transformer MacGuffins.
Yeah.
Now we're like to the staff of Merlin.
Yeah, they're making
next
their
it'll
own,
be Excalibur.
Yeah, they're making their own MacGuffins. The Dinobots lived.
Like,
yay. They did not get killed. And
I was worried they were going to get slaughtered.
As well as the tiny Dinobots lived, too.
Yay.
Because the little baby Dinobots were cute. The Dinobots live. Although they never transformed. They were always in robot form. They had one big battle with everything, but then, you know. So they did not get killed, luckily. Cybertron and Earth now coexist at the end of this film. So they're basically connected to one another. And the Autobots are trying to, like, rebuild Cybertron. And and then Quintessa's still on Earth in this human guise. And Earth is Unicron. And it's just, there's like, literally, I didn't see how many writers were on that film, but I think I texted you at the end of it, and I was like, dear Lord, there were 7 editors on this movie.
Yeah.
Like, that tells you how much of a mess that film was. Because when you have 7 editors editing your film, something is wrong. Usually it's 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Usually. To have that many editors is nuts. I don't know how... I kept meaning to see how many writers there were, and I think the...
Well, we're already on IMDb, so why don't we just...
I'm going to look, because I'm curious to see how many people wrote this awful, awful, awful film.
Quote, wrote, end quote.
Yeah. It was not good. It was one of those films where I was like, well, I might as well watch it. I've seen all of the other ones. And then you watch it and you go... Seven writers.
Well, that's one writer for every editor.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, there were 7. Art Markham, Matt Holloway, Ken Nolan, Akiva Goldsman.
Okay.
So there was a bunch of... A lot of them had story... Well, looks like there were 3 screenwriters and then story by 4 other people.
That means 4 other people wrote different screenplays and elements got used.
Yep. I found it interesting, though... Lennox was Dumal's character's name. The little girl Isabella, like, she was not a big part of that movie.
I've heard that. I heard she basically like disappears really early on.
Like early on, like Jaeger leaves her when him and Bumblebee go with Cogman Laura Haddock's character Vivian. They go to find all that. Like she gets left with Jared Carmichael's character Jimmy. And they don't come back until like the very end of the movie. Stanley Tucci was in it, which was really weird because he played Merlin.
That's weird because he had a role in the last movie.
Yeah.
He was a completely different character.
Yeah. And I was very surprised and actually very pleased to see Agent Simmons was in this film, John Turturro.
He's been in all of them.
He has been in all of them now, and it made me very happy. Tony Hale was in this movie too from Arrested Development. He was... the younger brother in that show.
Gob?
He's in... Yeah, no, not Gob. He was the unintelligent one who was...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize Gob was a mental giant.
Well, he was not as smart as Gob. He was... Oh, what was his character's name in Arrested Development?
Buster?
Huh?
Buster?
Yes, he was Buster. Thank you. He was in it in a very serious role as like a scientist. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Like,
why?
And he's only in it for like 5 minutes in like a couple different scenes.
Yeah, but all those Transformers movies have weird casting decisions and slightly recognizable actors and
yeah,
weird
you're like
roles.
Hey, you're like, hey, I know that. Wait, what? Oh, he's gone already. But yeah, it was a very very interesting film.
Okay,
very not good, but very interesting. Not good at all.
All I'm saying is, when I tell you I don't want to go see a movie, maybe you should listen.
I should. I will from now on. What do you see? We answer some fan questions.
Well, hang on. There was one thing I wanted to quickly talk about.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
A couple things. First of all, the Girls of the Finest.
Oh, yeah.
Have a new calendar for 2018.
Talk about this while I... You discuss that for a
second. Oh, why do you... I don't even have it set up.
Oh, well, that's okay. I have to plug Mr. Lappy in or else we won't be recording much longer.
Okay. Well, the Girls of the Finest, they're cosplayers. They do G.I. Joe. And they've got a new calendar for 2018. He's such a schmuck. He leaves me.
Go, Dave, go. You can do this.
They've hit their funding goal, but they can always use some more. They're doing it for They're doing it for charity. Canine for Warriors, I believe is what it's called.
Yes.
I am. So Canine for Warriors, which is a organization that helps wounded veterans get service dogs.
Which is a very good...
which is a wonderful...
Wonderful thing.
It's... Okay. www.indiegogo.com projects Girls of the Finest 2018 calendar.
Or if you go to Indiegogo, you can just...
If you go to Indiegogo, you can search for it. I know, but...
Yeah.
But it's a good cause. They're good people, you know.
Yes, very much so.
You know, some cool, sexy cosplay. It's all good. Life is good. And I also wanted to talk about... I have like a list. You completely threw me off.
I'm very sorry.
That's okay. I also wanted to talk about... Well, we didn't even talk about Abrams coming back in.
Or, oh, we didn't. I'm sorry.
But,
yes,
but I wanted to talk... comics actually lost a creator this week. I believe his name is Len Wein.
Len Wein.
I've heard his first name pronounced weird. But I think it's Len Wein, and he co-created Swamp Thing, and he co-created Wolverine.
Yeah.
And that's like a hell of a... If you think about that, well, it's like a weird... Punch. Yeah, yeah, 1-2 punch. Now,
while Wolverine is more well-known, Swamp Thing, I think, has been more influential in comics.
Yeah. To be fair, Wolverine, I think, became a bigger character under John Byrne and
Claremont.
Yeah. Because Claremont was just going to kill him off, and Byrne's Canadian, and was like, yeah, I want a Canadian on the team. And he also, the main reason I want to mention this is I saw the story that he did, which was like one of those amazing things that comics did back in the day. Do you remember the old Peanuts arc where Snoopy would type a bad novel?
Yes.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Yes.
A shot rang out.
Yes.
A pirate ship appeared on the horizon. The maid. He took that and made a Batman story out of it.
Which is awesome.
Which is amazing. And it was directly taken from the Snoopy thing. So it's like it was a dark and stormy night, and there was a shot, and the maid, and there's like a little pirate ship in a bottle, and it was all from this Snoopy cartoon. I'm like, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
That guy was hot.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And then again, he's a very talented writer, and he will be missed.
Yeah, he will be missed.
And then of course, the big news for me was that Colin Trevorrow, director of Jurassic World, got dumped.
Boy, did he.
Now, from what I understand, like, my guess is that they are just tired of dealing with people that are problematic.
Well,
they had problems with Lord Miller, and from what I understand, this guy is kind of a schmuck.
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow. Well, here's what I read, is that...
the story I heard is that they hated him on Jurassic World... But
they couldn't fire him because he was hired specifically by Steven Spielberg to direct that movie.
Yes.
So they couldn't fire him. And then he did The Book of Henry.
Which was garbage.
Which was awful.
Ridiculous. Like almost room level ridiculous.
Which apparently was pretty true. So the easiest way to put this is he was very confident.
Yeah, he was cocky.
He was very cocky. And apparently he got on set to Star Wars, which apparently Kathleen Kennedy did not want him. She didn't want to work with him. She didn't want him, and I guess Disney has the final say, so and brought him on. And apparently he was just utter pain, like, in the development of the Star Wars movie. Like, he wanted to do everything his way, just like Lord Miller.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, everybody, if you're going...
Well, I think with Lord Miller, it was more that their approach was causing issues with the filming, because they were very problem. You know, it would take them, like, a day to do two shots. And they were messing with the script, and Kasdan was apparently very overprotective of the script, where this guy was just, like, trouble from the start.
And the thing is, you never, like, both Lord Miller and Trevorrow both, like, decided to step up against Kathleen Kennedy. You don't. Don't do that.
Yeah.
No, that's bad. Don't do that. That's how you get released from a film that you should be very honored and proud to just do.
I think, you know, I go back and forth on that because I don't think you should necessarily, like, kiss her ring just because you're getting to do a Star Wars film. But you're getting to do a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
It's like I said, I go back and forth. I do think you want to go into it and bring something to it that, you know, that's yours. Leave your stamp on it. But be respectful. I haven't heard anything bad about Rian Johnson. And that movie looked really good. Last Jedi, I am really excited for it. I am a little disappointed that he didn't get the nod for 9. And I think it's very telling that they picked Abrams, who is definitely a brown noser and a ring kisser.
Yes.
And I think it was like, here's this guy that we had this good working relationship with. Let's get him back now. I'm not going to cause trouble.
Yeah.
Because apparently they also had issues with Gareth Edwards on Rogue One.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I think that kind of got swept under the rug because that film, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did too.
It generally did pretty well.
I did too.
So, but yeah, you know, so this is kind of big for me because I'm not, Abrams was maybe at the bottom of my list, like if I had a top 10 list of people I'd want to do 9, he was at the bottom of that bottom list. Like, I don't hate the choice, but like, well, actually, if he just directed it, like, I would be excited. I'd be happy because right. he's a good director. He gets good performances out of actors. He's got a phenomenal eye for casting.
Yes.
Like, you cannot deny that the man is a genius at casting. It's just he's going to write it, too.
Yeah.
And that was the flaw with Force Awakens, was that it was not the best written Star Wars film.
Yep.
And keep in mind, the prequels exist. So when you say it wasn't a great... Like, I think everybody's kind of expecting it to be a very sort of Empire or Return of the Jedi knockoff-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that. Like, my head, I pictured the scene where he's like browbeating Rian Johnson. It's like, so who gets put in the carbonite? Nobody gets put in the carbonite. But how are they supposed to rescue him from the gangster if he's not in carbonite? That's not going to happen. My whole first act is they rescue someone in carbonite. That's not going to happen. Just make your own movie.
Like, Jason. All these directors getting released off of the Star Wars films, I go back to a line that Ben Affleck tells Matt Damon in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite things where they're arguing about having to do Good Will Hunting 2. Because they're in the film, they're on the set of Good Will Hunting 2. And Damon is just, he's so over. Like, he just doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And Affleck finally, like, there's this great line in... He goes, Affleck tells him, hey, I'm sorry if I dragged you away from whatever gay serial killers who like to ride horses while they play golf touchy-feely picture you're doing this week. And Damon goes, I take it you haven't seen Forces of Nature. And mind you, this is old. And Affleck finally goes, you're like a child. What do I keep telling you? You got to do the safe picture, then you do the art picture. And it's like, that's what those people need to remember. Like, you do the safe picture, which is Star Wars, and then with the cloud of Star Wars when it's popular, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, that's a common thing among actors, is they do the big role. Like, why is that guy in that movie? So he has money to do the small movie.
Yeah, so he can do the small movie. That's what the director should remember, is like, if you get hired to do Star Wars or Han Solo, you go, well, all right, and then you do it the way they want to do
I think,
then you go on to do your other stuff.
Jesus Christ, my phone is blowing up.
I noticed
that. I specifically tell people I'm recording tonight, and it's like, and it's actually literally the person I told specifically I'm recording tonight. And you know who you are. And I completely... Like from what I understand, Disney had this approach, Kathleen Kennedy had this approach of, we want to bring in these hot, young, new directors, like they do with the superhero movies.
Yes.
And I think now they're kind of like, no, we need to
We have a formula, you need to follow that formula.
Yeah, I think now they're kind of like, you know what, we don't want you to put your stamp on it, we want the safe, old directors like Ron Howard and J.J. Abrams.
And you know that this marks 4 directors now that have been removed from a Star Wars project. So we had Tony Gilroy, who took over from Gareth Edwards.
On the reshoots.
For reshoots on Rogue One. Josh Trank was taken off of a Star Wars anthology film after reports arose about the Helmer's disturbing behavior on the set of Fantastic Four reboot. And we had Lord Miller and now Trevor Wiles.
So, how about Trank? Because that film hasn't even materialized.
Yeah, hadn't even materialized yet, but yeah. So,
well, I think you're going to see, like I said, I think Abrams is the unsurprising choice because they clearly worked well with him and got along with him.
Yes.
And I think that's what she wants from here on out is guys they can get along with who, you know.
Who will listen to them.
Who will listen to them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, who again, understand, I'm on a Star Wars film. I'm going to do it the way they want to do it.
Well.
Maybe with a little twist of my own.
But, yeah. I
And that's the other thing is that with Lord Miller, like, you don't screw with a Kasdan script. Like,
wow, I mean, just Kasdan did this work on the script for Force Awakens, so he's not untouchable. He's had some, but from what I understand, it's a good script.
Yeah,
and I think it was just their style was not this improv jokey kind of thing.
Very loose.
Maybe not
the
best. And I'm bummed because I really would have much preferred to see their take on Han Solo than Ron Howard's.
Like, they're just dropping out of all kinds of projects. They're not doing Flash anymore.
Yeah.
Like, all kinds of stuff,
They got too big for their britches.
Yes, they did.
They were like Icarus. They flew too close to the sun.
Flew too close to the sun.
All right, now you want to do questions?
Yeah.
I got all my list, my agenda out of the way.
Yes, you did.
Well, I wanted to say nice things about the Finest.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Now I'm going to win because it's a cool story.
That's why we're partners, because you keep me on track sometimes when I forget things that you've written down.
I legitimately went into tonight expecting to have to like kill a half an hour listening to you recap your Florida
story. Yeah, I already recapped it once. You were going to do this whole bit. And
I had a whole bit. I was like prepared for it. I'm like,
it's all right. I've already talked about Florida. If you want to hear
my
Florida,
this is the first time ever that you've done this. Like every other time, it's like you do these things and you record a married, and then like we got to kill a half an hour of the show you recapping everything. Yeah, if you want to hear these Florida stories, the Baton Death March.
I will tell you this though, we went to visit Robert Maxwell Barbieri.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
No, I will tell you this. I love.
He held a dino saucer in his grubby little.
No, I love your toy collection.
Oh, wow, you're actually like gonna flat out go there.
Yeah, I love this your toy hurtful. Collection, but Robert's destroys your collection.
Wow.
For not so much for the. He has more in package items, more rare items that I've ever seen in one place. Whereas yours is beautiful, like it's just massive and it encapsulates so many things. But Robert's is just like. To walk through that house, you're just like, holy... But it wasn't just toys, and that's why I say that, because it wasn't just toys. It was... he had an original Ghostbusters opening night booklet from the Hollywood premiere in 84. Like, he's got all kinds of this really cool, like, crazy stuff. Like, that collection alone was enough to put anyone's collection in the dust. Like, it made me come home and look at my shelves and go, I need to do something different, because mine looks like crap.
Yeah, I heard you, like... fawning over his cases.
The cases were pretty nice. I've hurt David's feelings now.
Yeah, you have, and I can't find the tweet where the guy says to go F yourself. So
well.
I was gonna do that kind of under the radar, but apparently that's been buried.
Probably.
Do you know the guy I was going for?
I know who you were going for.
Yeah.
Fan questions. Jason Metzger says, what are your thoughts on the Super 7 Vintage Motu line? Glad you guys are back. Keep up the great work.
We don't have any.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we kind of talked about it earlier, but I'm glad that for Masters fans that they're continuing the Vintage line.
Yeah.
I think the other thing in news out was like the Vintage line and the Filmation, like every new line they do is a different thing. So you have to like, they're going to pre-sell a different thing. Like it's not going to be all like... where Maddie used to be, like Club Grayskull or whatever, and you could just get everything. No, you're gonna have to go on and get everything. But luckily, it sounds like Super 7, you know, they keep pre-orders open and they make the order, so nothing's gonna sell out right away. It's not like they can sell out of their pre-orders; like they make the stuff to order. So,
and I do have on pre-order from Big Bad one of the PowerCon sets, so hopefully get to review that someday.
The one with the snake in it, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Chris Sheets says, what are your thoughts on the new Black Series vehicles?
They're so good. I am heartbroken like that my 4-inch line doesn't get this love.
What are they? Are they
the Land Speeder and Ray Speeder.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of got them because thematically, to me, they go together.
Right.
They are so good.
They're nice.
Like, and it's weird because like, they have cool play features. Like, not play features like spring-loaded widgets, but like... You can open up Ray's speeder, like the
little basket on the side or whatever.
Not the basket on the side. Well, yeah, the basket on the side is actually just like a molded piece with netting over it.
Yeah.
But like you can open up the hood. I don't know what you'd call it.
Right.
And take pieces of the engine out,
wow.
And it's like it's so cool.
That's kind
of
cool.
And then Luke's speeder's just as well done, and it's like, oh my god, these are amazing.
That's neat.
Like I'm kind of glad I bought them, and I'm kind of bitter and jealous that like the toy line that I prefer doesn't get this love.
Doesn't get this. Kind
they
of
are
love.
Really well done.
Nice.
If you are thinking about getting one, and you can afford it, get one. They're quality toys.
Nice.
And then they have little clear stands so that they do the
they can float.
So they can float.
Yeah.
And it's, they're really
that's
well
cool,
done.
That's really cool. David Rebecca says a toy you've always wanted but was never released.
Oh please, Morgar the Bone Dragon.
Yeah, Morgar the Bone Dragon would have been amazing. That would have been nice. Josh Flood says, Flood
Burger. Okay.
That was my answer too. Like, that's the one toy that I've seen that's been unreleased that I was like, kind of want that. Kind of wish we had that. Flood Burger says, I'm sure you've talked about Disney a bit on this episode by now. Actually, not at all.
Yeah, not at all.
Listen to Merit of the Collection. You'll hear all about it. Heading down for 3 days in October. What would Duvall's top 5 things to do for Toy World Order fans at Disney? Well, being as you're going down for 3 days, you're going to have Mark Anthony and his girlfriend Tina as your guide.
Jason's new best friend.
They're amazing.
It was just a hurtful podcast to like sit through.
Stop it. You're still my best friend, David.
Okay.
You're still the one we love the most.
Okay. Just keep talking.
Oh, my God. You're just like getting all kinds of butthurt tonight, aren't you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
What can I do to make it up to you, David?
Answer his question.
Top five things for you to do in the Flight of Passage in Animal Kingdom for the World of Pandora is pretty spectacular. That is a must-do. Riding in the front car of Expedition Everest was very interesting. I've never done that. That was a lot of fun. Tower of Terror is always a must for Carrie and I when we go, just because she loves that ride so much and she giggles constantly in it while she screams. I love Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster. I also love just one of the main things we didn't really get to do this time because we were rush, but I like to go and to find a bench near Main Street and just sit down and people watch. Especially at Disney, to me, that's the most fun because you see the best and worst of humanity all in one fell swoop walking past you.
I remember when I went in 2001, and I went to Star Tours just all day. When I took a lunch break, I found a little bench.
Yeah.
And they were like piping out like soundtracks.
Yeah.
Like a medley of soundtracks. And it was, you know, I just sat there and I had people watch and I had my lunch and I listened to music. I thought, yes, well, the music was fun. But and then there was a fountain, and it was a really lovely moment. Yeah,
it's a nice place. But yeah, so Flight of Passage, Tower of Terror, Expedition Everest,
bench.
A bench is a good thing to find, especially right now. There's a new little Muppet show that takes place outside the Hall of Presidents. That happens several times a day. It's great moments in American history with the Muppets.
I have a question.
Yes,
were they performers or were they animatronic?
Oh, they were performers.
Okay.
And they were the Muppets, like
yeah. I got that they were actually felt Muppets, but like I didn't know if they were like felt Muppets on a frame.
No, or
they were people.
They were people. Okay. They were people controlling those Muppets, and it was spectacular. At one point, Gonzo was in a window, and he like the puppeteer had raised the arm rod a little too high, and you could see his hand. Yeah. So there were people out there, and it was pretty cool to see. That's a definite must to see too, because they're all different shows. Like they do. I think there's five or six different shows that they could do at any given time, and it's different every time you see it. So that's a lot of fun. So there's some fun stuff, but you've got some good hosts and guides, so they will take you to some amazing stuff. Colin Ives says, "Is there a toy or toy line you wish they never added to, or an '80s toy line they should have left alone now and not making remakes off of them because the toy line was better then?" See, it's a different thing, Colin. In the 80s, as they added to the toy lines, as they tried to keep the sales going, a lot of times they added some very interesting things farther down the line than the initial release. Like,
quote, interesting, end quote.
And sometimes really good stuff. The sad thing is that even with today's toy lines, if you don't continue to innovate and add to that toy line and either release new versions of a character or new play sets or vehicles... you don't last long. And it was just like that in the 80s. You didn't last long at all. So that's why you had real Ghostbusters going like 5 years or something like that of constant, like every year, new toys. And G.I. Joe.
Yeah, G.I. Joe is probably G.I. Joe is probably the prime example.
Every year it was something new. They never... When they re-released a character, it was either... A new version.
Yeah, I mean, it would be either... And it was rare. There were only like a handful of characters they did like two or three versions of.
Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes is the classic one. But
Stalker.
Like, Stalker, I think, had three.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roadblock, I think, only had two. But then they would also do like a lot of those were like they would take old mold, Tiger Force and Python Patrol.
Night Force.
And they would just do them in a... They would do a
new paint scheme.
New paint scheme, but a new theme. And then put them all together. And that was how they kept old molds in circulation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, my thing is, if there was a weird addition to a toy line and I don't like it, I just either I don't buy it or I leave it in the bin.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I can't think of any toy line that they brought back from the 80s that made me go, they probably should have let that alone.
Yeah, I mean, Jason's disappointed with Power Lords, but that's just because they didn't strike when the iron was hot.
Yeah, they didn't release the characters fast enough. They just kept reusing the same molds with different paint schemes, and it just drove me nuts. So, and then finally, Alexis Lazik says, this one is more for David Draper, but Jason Lafalle, you can answer if you have an answer. What unproduced G.I. Joes, vintage or modern, do you wish had been produced? He says, me, it'd be a toss-up between the other three Manimals, Rocky Balboa, or the Replicators, even though they would have been blatant ripoffs of Aliens.
Yeah, I mean, probably Rocky. I think that's the main one.
Rocky, they were so close to making Rocky.
But the thing is, like, if we got Rocky, we wouldn't have gotten the fridge.
Right.
And then I wouldn't be able to lord it over stupid Packers fans that there is 1,000% more Chicago Bears on G.I. Joe than stupid Packers. Stupid Green Bay Packers.
What's funny about the Rocky thing is that had Marvel Comics not jumped the gun before the ink was even...
People wouldn't know.
Yeah.
They might know now, because now there's all this like information out. But like for decades, people would never have known.
Right. I don't know. The other three Manimals would have been nice to have made.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. There wasn't really a lot of, like, that I know of unproduced stuff.
No, very little.
You kind of listed them all. I mean, the Manimals would have been interesting. The weird...
Replicators.
The Replicators, we would have gotten another Baroness.
Yeah, so. That's true. I mean, if you want to line, like, the stuff that Replicators would have released, the Mexican stuff is pretty close to it. Madelmen?
I think it's Spanish.
Is it Spanish? Yeah.
Yeah. Madelmen 2050.
Yeah, that stuff is... That's about as close to the Replicators line as you'll get when a G.I. Joe, because that stuff is kooky and fun.
Yeah, it's really neat. I wish it was easier to get over here.
Yeah, my God.
They have a play set that I would love to have.
Yeah.
Really cool vehicles.
Stuff's hard to get in the States.
Well, because it's every eBay seller's in Greece, and I'm like,
Dave's like, I want to do it in Greece.
It's weird, because it's like it was a line I think came out in Spain, but all the eBay sellers are in Greece. I don't know how that works, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
There's a whole continent between those two?
Yeah. How does that work? Oh, my goodness. Well, gang, there you go. Quite a bit to talk about after the our little vacation.
Yeah.
My little vacation, I should say, Dave.
I sat around the house.
Sorry.
That's fine. I got caught, like, BoJack Horseman dropped, so
I
killed the whole day watching that and loved it. Oh, so good.
What did you think of this week's Rick and Morty?
Ah, fantastic. Amazing.
For those of you who haven't seen this week's Rick and Morty, you might just want to turn off the podcast now because we're going to spoil it for you.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
So, I sit down. Like, I usually watch Rick and Morty on Monday.
Because
it's on so late on Sunday night, I'm just I'll watch it Monday.
It depends. Like, if I'm sort of awake and kind of up on it, I'll catch it Sunday night.
This episode was interesting because it started out with Rick and Morty going on an adventure to Atlantis.
Yeah.
And then immediately, like, they talk about the Sanctum Rift.
What happens is another portal opens up and a different Rick and Morty come out.
Yes.
And they're collecting funds to rebuild the
Sanctum of Ricks?
No, the Citadel
of Ricks. Citadel of Ricks. And Rick basically tells him to get lost.
Yeah.
And Morty's like, I wonder what... there's people still living on there? I wonder what they're going through. And they jump in the portal and then...
Then Rick has a great line like, anyone who wonders about what's going on in the Citadel is sad and pathetic and a loser.
Yes.
And then immediately cuts to Tales from the Citadel.
Yeah. Which followed...
Followed four storylines.
Yes.
There was a training day storyline with a rookie
cop,
Rick.
Rookie cop Rick.
Cop Rick. And his partner was an experienced, kind of burned out Morty.
Yes.
There was the election campaign, which followed the campaign manager for a... Because of the Council of Ricks being killed off by Rick.
By Rick.
They're now going to go to democracy, the democratic election.
Yes.
And there are all these Ricks running, all these different Ricks, and then there's one Morty. So one of the characters they follow is the campaign manager for the Morty. There's a guy work. Oh, that was the harsh one. The factory.
Yeah, there's a factory.
There's a factory that makes candy.
Called Simple Rick.
And the secret ingredient is there's this one Rick who gave up on science and just like wanted to stay home and love his daughter and be happy. And they've captured him and they're draining that feeling of happiness. And putting it into a candy. So there's one of the characters is the Rick that just works on the assembly line for 50.
And he gets passed over for
he gets passed over for a promotion.
Yes.
For Cool Rick.
Yeah, for Cool Rick.
And then the fourth storyline is it's like a Stand By Me thing with a couple of Mortys in Morty school who have all
which
lost
from
the Rick.
Which is from the scene at the opening with the Lizard Rick.
Which I thought was one of the random scenes. One of them is Lizard Morty who was fused with a lizard.
And they're trying to find
the wish portal. Yeah. Because they've heard there's a portal, and if you throw the thing you care about the most in it, your wish will come true.
Yes.
And I pretty much called how that was going to play out.
Yeah.
Like, because I know the show.
Although it did harsh.
It did sort of twist a little bit. Like, that's the weird thing. So here's the thing. Is the Morty running for president is very smart. He's very well-spoken.
Yes.
And he ends up kind of getting a big popular groundswell. And the campaign manager didn't believe in him. So he gets fired.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's in a bar. And this Rick shows up, like, in a trench coat and a hat. And gives the campaign manager this secret file about the Morty.
Yes.
And by this point, I had already called it. At one point, there's a press conference. And they're asking the candidate Morty all these questions. And he's kind of evasive. And that's when I was like,
yeah.
Like, what universe are you from? Who's your Rick?
Yeah.
And he was kind of like dancing around. I'm like, oh, I know where this is going.
Yep.
And the minute that the campaign manager got the file, I knew, like, I was absolutely 100% sure. So he, the Morty's kind of, the candidate Morty is walking out of a building, and there's security everywhere. And he sees his campaign manager, and he says, you know, hey, how you doing? How's everything going? And the campaign manager pulls a gun and shoots him.
Yeah.
Now, and then he gets arrested, and they throw him in an airlock. You don't know it's an airlock. You think it's a prison cell, but it's an airlock. And he's like, he had to die. And the secret agent,
the Ricks.
Ricks are like, yeah, well, then you should have known to shoot better, jackass.
Yeah.
It's like, he lived?
He lived. And it's like, oh, yeah, and he won.
And
too.
He won, yeah.
So they launch him out the airlock. The School of Morty kids are...
The wishing portal turns out to be a
garbage
dump, but one of the Mortys basically, before you find that out, wishes that everything would be different. And
yeah.
He jumps into the portal.
Hurls himself into the portal.
And that actually kind of comes true.
Yeah.
Like, everything is kind of different.
Because they head back to school, and they're like, oh, what our classes need the
Well, they were going to graduate and get their Ricks.
Yes.
Like, do we miss graduation? Are we going to get our Ricks? And the guy's like, nope, no Ricks.
No new Ricks.
School shut down. I don't care. You guys are turds, whatever.
Yeah.
So what happens is the Morty gets elected president, and you'll notice that he's not particularly injured.
Right.
There are all these other Ricks that are like, you know, garment, like all these like captains of industry
yeah.
Ricks. Like the guy who runs the cookie factories there and a couple other, and they're like, you know, we've actually run this back when the Council of Ricks
yeah.
were in charge. We've always run this.
And you'll learn real quick that's, you know, we're running the show.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a Rick, a Morty, or a Jerry. Yeah. We're running the show.
He's like, and the Morty's like, raise your hands if you agree with them. And a bunch of them raise their hands.
Everybody, two of them raise
yeah.
their hands. And like all the security, like, open fire and murder them all.
Yes.
And so he starts to give this great speech, this chilling speech. And then you see like clips of everybody, and it actually looks like life is actually better on the city. I hate to say it, but like,
yeah.
But like at the end, you see all the bodies being flushed out into space, including the campaign manager Morty, and his file folder opens, and it's Evil Morty.
Yeah, it's Evil Morty.
It was Evil Morty.
It was Evil Morty the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
and
so,
if you notice,
so
the body floating behind him is the Rick that gave him the folder.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Here's my theory, is I think Morty set that whole thing up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he sent that Rick in, which is why that Rick got killed, because
yeah.
he had to get rid of the witness. Yeah, and he knew that Morty would, like, screw up the shot.
Oh.
Like, oh. And
dude, I was so happy. Because we've talked about it. On this show, we've talked about how we were like, you know, I hope they never go back to Evil Morty.
I never said I hope they never, but I was like, I was ambivalent about it.
Right.
Because I didn't know if they'd pull it off. Oh, my God,
they pulled it off so great. And now they're just going to kind of leave that pocket of the universe alone for a little bit.
Not that long. Because apparently the final episode of this season, they have a description for it. And it's Rick confronts the president.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because
it ends with Rick and Morty coming out. Our Rick and Morty coming out of their portal
from
their Atlantis adventure. And like, yeah, what a great, cool adventure. And like, and Morty's like, are you still, do you not think about the Citadel at all? And it's like, no, screw the Citadel. This is great. We're having these cool adventures.
Yeah.
And the Citadel will never affect our lives in any way
yeah.
again.
Oh, Rick,
yeah,
the smartest man in the universe, yet the dumbest man alive.
Well, there's a great line, like, the cop Rick refuses to take a bribe, and cop Morty's like, smartest man in the universe, and they get
yeah.
a shootout.
Yeah. And then he ends up killing that Morty.
I was a little confused about that, because I know he shoots him, but
yeah.
like later he says that guy confessed. Like
yeah.
when he's in, because the Rick turns himself in.
Yeah,
because he's a good cop.
Yeah,
And he's actually a good person. Like he's the rare good Rick. And that's the thing, is our clumsy explanation of the episode does not even get to the... There's all this social stuff about classes and...
Because the Mortys are, like, looked down upon.
Oh, the Mortys have their own... Like, well, and these are Mortys that, like, have no family back home. Yeah, they have no Ricks.
Yeah.
And they're kind of left to run wild.
Morty Town. It's a pretty intense episode. Like, it's just...
Oh, it's so good. It's so
this
deep.
This whole season has been... like, they were so worried about letting everyone down with this season, but...
I think that they should not have to worry about that.
No, this whole season... They've got some of the smartest writers, almost like South Park-level writers, because apparently the season premiere of South Park was really good.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah. I read a bunch of stuff about it today, and apparently it was really good. And people are amazed that South Park continues to be relevant and, like, way above the top of its game.
I heard last season wasn't good, but apparently they were, like... They were kind of blindsided by Trump. And, like, how do you make fun of this guy?
Yeah.
They were like, we wanted to spend the whole season, like, crapping on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because they were not happy with Force Awakens. That was the whole member berries thing. Like, they were like, we wanted to just take shots at Star Wars, and this Trump thing happened, and we didn't know how to handle it.
Oh, my goodness. What a good... Rick and Morty's been excellent this season, though.
Yes.
It's been so good.
That was my... on a slightly... To drag it out a little further... Like, I feel bad because the Orville premiered, which was set in front of this tribute to Star Trek.
Yes.
And I feel bad because, like the Friday before, I had binge-watched BoJack Horseman, season 4.
Right.
Which was so good. And then, like, I saw the Orville, and then, like, there was that episode of Rick and Morty, and, I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, the Orville was just, like, weak sauce compared to all this other stuff that's just so deep and so...
Yeah, I agree.
Like, has stuff to say about the human condition, but can be funny, but can be dark, can be sad. Yeah. It's like there's some good stuff out there on TV.
Oh, yeah. Some very good stuff this year. We started watching American Horror Story Cult.
Okay.
Which...
had some weird commercials.
And it has ties to the election of this year.
Okay.
Like, that's what sets everything off.
Okay.
But it's not like, the focus. Like, that's what sets everything in motion. And it's, of course, with the American Horror Story, if you've ever watched those series, you don't really know what's going on until it's almost over. And then you're like, I still don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
This started out in such a way, like, you've got this woman who has a phobia of clowns.
Yeah, I saw there was a lot of clown-heavy advertising.
Yes, she has a phobia of clowns. She starts seeing these clowns everywhere and is scared to death. And the clowns are always doing awful things. What's his face that plays Quicksilver in the X-Men movies is always in. He's been in every season of the show as a different character. He's like the main antagonist in the show. So, but he doesn't control the. It's weird. Like, the clowns have nothing to do with him, and it's all this crazy stuff that's happening. But it's pretty good so far. I'm very impressed with it. But there's a lot of good stuff on television. A lot of good stuff. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the episode for Dave and I this week. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. Make sure you check us out. And until then, David,
you still don't have to go home, but you still can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.